Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. It's Thursday. This should be a good show. If you want to join us, 312-981-7200 is our number. Before we discuss the Rolling Stones, because I know you had a big Rolling Stones day yesterday, can I just ask one quick thing that it might be very easy to answer?
Sure.
Adam Chappelle, who I'm a huge fan of, just mentioned moments ago that Cabela's is having a sale on getaway tents, and I got all excited. And then I said to myself, what is a getaway tent?
Like a small tent for going away for the weekend.
Is
nothing
that a getaway
major.
Tent?
Maybe you could use it in the backyard.
I guess so. Why is it referred to as a getaway tent?
Because it packs really easily, probably.
Oh, okay.
You're in an argument inside the house.
Right. Honey, I will be in the getaway tent until further notice. All right, now I understand.
Plus, if you just said a tent, it doesn't capture your attention like a getaway tent does.
Well, except that the way, I don't know if everyone's mind works this way, but mine is, I got so excited. I'm like, whoa, this is the perfect time to get a getaway tent. It's the middle of July. why wouldn't you get a getaway tent? And they're on sale now. I'm taking advantage of this. And then I thought to myself, but what is it? Before I make this purchase, I should probably look it up to see if I need a getaway tent.
Listeners, you think he's kidding, but off the air, he was like, did he just say getaway
what?
Tent?
On sale? That'd be crazy. All right. I know that yesterday was a big day for you
just
because
fun.
You got to see the Rolling Stones exhibit and then more.
Yeah. The Rolling Stones exhibitionism is what it's called, is over at Navy Pier, and I believe it's going through July 30th. It's in the final weeks. It is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Stones fan, even if you're not, it's just really intriguing. There are interactive things. You can get an audio tour if you want. We didn't. I don't like wearing someone else's headphones.
No.
So right. I refuse to do that.
Yeah.
But they feature the apartment that the boys grew up in as they were just breaking into the rock and roll.
So when you see this, because it's obviously it's not the apartment, it's
no,
a facsimile.
It's a
so what do they
replica.
Do? They just find things from that era and they put them in.
It's supposedly
same layout,
same type of furniture. They've recreated it to look like their very first apartment together. There are overfilled ashtrays in it.
Oh.
There were three beds in one room, so you know if the boys are bringing back ladies, no privacy.
I don't know that would happen with a rock band in the 60s.
That is rare.
And neither do I think they would be worried with privacy.
Right.
And then there was one area where there was like a kitchen table and one bed there.
Oh.
So that's weird. Is that for the one who's staying overnight so you can make them breakfast?
I guess,
the groupie breakfast.
I would imagine that's
wing.
What that's for. Right. All right, so you get to see that. Are there old guitars and musical instruments that they had played throughout the years?
Oh, my God, the guitars. My son Michael's a guitar collector and was just... You can take pictures. You can't take video.
These are not facsimiles. These
are
the actual guitars.
The real deal. Steel wheels, real deal.
Yeah.
And they gave a lot of the stuff to the exhibit. It's a touring exhibit.
Yeah.
Mary Vandeveld wants to jump in.
Yeah, I was just there on Friday.
Was it not
awesome.
Cool?
Oh, my gosh. I could have spent... My girlfriend and I are Stones freaks. We went to a lot of concerts together. So we went together, and we had other things we had to do. So, unfortunately, we couldn't stay. But we could have stayed there for, like, 6 hours,
wow.
I think. Yeah, but I think the clothes were the coolest thing for me.
They had the outfits... As you call them, Bill.
Yeah, the rock and roll outfits.
The skinny little outfits.
But they had, you know, pictures of Mick wearing this checkerboard suit, and then they had the actual suit on display, a crazy fur coat that Keith wore.
Yeah.
It was really an unbelievable exhibit.
And how are those displayed? Are they like on mannequins that, yeah?
Yeah, right, and a whole area where you walk in. There's a little area. My husband, Jimmy Mack, is an audio producer, so you can punch in a Rolling Stone song, and you can do the mix on it where the vocals come up. It's just fun and interactive.
Is there a gift shop afterwards where you can actually purchase brown sugar if
I
you wanted to buy some brown sugar?
I wanted that denim coat. There was like a denim.
With the lips?
Yeah. It was like, what, $350 or something?
We came out
seriously
and saw a pair of a bathing suit that I said, I went with the boys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a cool bathing suit. And Dylan's like, do they have my size? And as I'm looking through the sizes, it's $199.
Why? Why was it so
much? Because it had Rolling Stones stuff all over it.
But it wasn't like a vintage one from one
were like 12 on the rack, but it's, you know, expensive.
Yeah.
And then Michael, of course, wanted the guidebook like for the whole exhibit.
That's not a bad thing to get.
Yeah, but he wanted the leather one, which was $120. I go, let's go with the hard or the soft cover for $40.
Yeah.
So he got that. They got T-shirts.
That's a good remembrance of it, though.
It was really super cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then at the end, you I don't know if I should give this away. Mary, is it giving anything away? The last thing before you walk out, something 3D.
I don't think so.
Charlie Watts.
Well, you don't have to say, you know, I wonder if they change it up every day or if it's the same song.
Well, it's basically in a nutshell, and it's not really a surprise. You go in this little area that looks like you're backstage.
Yeah.
And there's a little mirror set up, and it's kind of short. And my son Michael's like, see, Mick is only like 3 feet tall. So he used that mirror.
Right. He's 5'7".
Right. And then you walk into this concert, I say with air quotes, you put 3D glasses on and you watch some footage of them at a concert, and it's them on stage in 3D, and I swear to God, I forgot I was at an exhibit. I thought I was at a Stones concert.
Oh, really?
It is really impressive. Cool.
It's kind of embarrassing because I started like clapping
so
and dancing around. That I'm looking around and everybody's just kind of like,
I know. I did the same thing. It really took me, I'm not a big 3D lover, you know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It took me completely out of the exhibit and put me at a Stones show.
Oh, that's a nice way to finish it off.
It was
really nice.
Cool. And not very expensive. I think $25, something around there. You can get a VIP experience where you get a lanyard and something else that's $80. But really, it is so worth going. It's rock and roll exhibitionism. You have to walk to the very end of Navy Pier. So you keep following the signs, and then we're wondering, Jim says, you know, I think we're just going to walk through and there's going to be a door and we fall out into the lake because you're walking forever. It's
and
in
just,
a B
yeah,
ballroom or whatever.
Just make sure you go to the bathroom before you go in.
Oh my God!
Why is that?
They tell you, you
no
once you're
in
it's gonna. I said, how long is this gonna take? Because I kind of had to go to the bathroom, and the guy said, well, it depends how big of a Stones fan you are. I said, pretty big, and I'm with some other Stones fans, and he goes, well, it could take up to 3 hours if you want.
Really, you had this conversation with the guy?
Yeah.
He kind of tells you to go.
It's the Rolling Stones, not the Kidney Stones.
Well,
our guy at the front kind of said, well, if you need to use the bathroom before you go in, it's right down the stairs.
Can you
I'm
use
like,
the one in their
okay.
little fake apartment? Are you allowed to
I
use
tried.
That bathroom?
There wasn't one, was there?
No, but I'm telling you, as soon as somebody says I can't go to the bathroom,
you have to go to the bathroom.
I have to go.
Bill, that would have been a great selfie.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think it would have.
The guy let me out and back in. I said, I know you said this, but as soon as you said it, it's like my bladder got crazy. I don't know. And then they radioed in, yes, we've got a lady coming to the front who will be going to the bathroom. Please let her back in.
Are you allowed to paint anything black?
No.
They don't let you do that. They missed an opportunity.
I'm telling you, this is just so unique. And
catered by Ruby Tuesdays?
Or Magicist.
And then, right. If you haven't gone, it's really young and old alike, honestly.
That's the best part of this is, so for people who are older, it's memories.
Absolutely.
For people who are younger, you realize this is important history if you're a music fan. So, they could capture both. Why not?
Really a great time, and it's a limited time. It only went to a couple of cities, so we were lucky enough to get it here in Chicago. It's been in London and a couple other places.
Yeah.
A lovely exhibit by a fantastic photographer, Paul Natkin, just before you walk in. These kick-ass photos of the Stones on stage. There's a real cool shot that Paul took from backstage, so you kind of get the view of what the Stones are looking at.
Yeah,
just
right.
A packed visit to Chicago, and the four Stones just standing there with their back. It's really
that's
cool.
That's nice. That's very nice.
So kudos to Paul Natkin, who does not get enough credit for the wonderful photos that he takes.
Steve and I took in the Dexys Midnight Runners exhibit yesterday.
I loved it.
How long
I
did it take you to go through?
Almost 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was six, but
he lingered a little more than I did.
I had the repeat, too.
Well, totally awesome.
I'm glad you did. And then,
can we take a
break?
Yeah,
more Chicago stuff.
I fell in love with the city all over again.
How about that? All right, we'll discuss that next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy took in the Rolling Stones exhibitionism exhibit yesterday at Navy Pier. You're giving it 4 stars. Big fan.
4 out of 4.
Yeah.
Was that what the thing was, or is it 5 stars?
Well, Our friend Patrick McDonald has his own system where he gives things 5 stars, but standard is 4 stars, so that's a pretty good rating. Now, you were allowed to take pictures during this. I'm surprised.
There's one room you can't. That's the alleged backstage area where it says no photos after this point. But yeah. You can take pictures anywhere, just no video.
That's interesting. I wonder why they would separate that.
I'm kind of surprised they allowed you to take pictures.
Yeah, I am too.
They have a whole wall of set lists, which is a rock and roll geek. I love the set lists. A lot of times if you're at a concert, if you can grab one off the stage and then meet the band and have them sign it, that would be the ultimate.
It's a big deal.
But they're usually just a piece of poster board, just scribbled. These are so artistic and beautiful.
You showed me pictures. Yeah, they really went.
I don't know who did them. I'm going Ron Wood. I bet Ron Wood wrote them out.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Little British flags and
yeah,
lovely
a lot of
printing.
Colors.
Yes.
Yeah.
So after the exhibit, we were going to go to Maggie Daly Park because starting at 6 o'clock, they've tied it in with Rolling Stones exhibitionism and they're blasting Stones music and you can mini golf.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to do that. But then all of a sudden, my kids are adoring the lakefront at the end of Navy Pier. Dylan spots the sea dog and says, I want to go on a boat ride.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, well, let's look into that. I don't mm-hmm. know if we've missed it for the day, but they have a bunch of takeoffs. We ended up going on a shoreline cruise, the architectural cruise. Haven't been on it since I've been 14 years old.
It's great.
I'll go again today.
Yeah,
you want to go?
I would go. It's really fun. And it's stuff you walk past every day and you think you kind of know it, but you don't.
It's just what a beautiful city. Some of these buildings you can't really see very well unless you're on the river.
Right.
And it goes all the way down to Chinatown, and the whole South Loop area is being built up every minute you
mm-hmm.
look, and there are more things
mm-hmm.
with new construction planned. It was really, I felt bad because my kids are like, we've never been to the Hancock Center or to the Sears Tower. And Jim and I looked at each other like,
is that true?
God, are we sucky parents?
How?
We'll tell your son to get his driver's license and go.
One more person nags at poor Michael for not having his license.
Not even like on a school field trip they didn't go, or you never took them? They've never been to either one, huh?
I thought we took them, but evidently, you know, it's so bad. But when you live in the surrounding suburbs, you really do take the city for granted.
But you've done the museums with them,
yeah,
right?
They've done museums, Shedd Aquarium, all that.
Opera.
Yeah, the opera, of course.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Opera and...
Superdog.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
We've done the most of the important things in life,
mm-hmm.
but not,
just not the Hancock or the Sears
yeah.
Tower.
Not the biggest ones.
Right.
I know, and I feel really guilty because I worked in the Hancock building at the Loop for so many years. And I guess
prior to their birth.
Right, but I mean, I take that for granted. Like, I've been there, done that,
yeah.
I forget about it. And Sears Tower, I'm a suburbanite, okay, so I only know the area about where I work.
Yeah.
Like a close proximity, like when I worked at the Hancock building, I knew that area really well.
Uh-huh.
Then when we worked at the Merchandise Mart, I knew that area.
Yeah.
And now I know this area. I'm never over by the Sears Tower.
Oh, I guess.
So I never think to do that.
And before anyone texts in, we know it's Willis Tower.
I'm
it's
not
just,
saying
it's,
Willis.
Are you going to stick with... And now it's Cut Rate Tower, I believe. Isn't it?
So,
did I read
kind
that right?
Of understand.
Guaranteed Rate Tower?
Kind of understand what you're saying, Whitney. Like, you know, because you're on the ground and it's the blocks that you immediately around where you work, those are the buildings
yeah.
you see. The Willis Tower stands out, though.
I know. And when you see it and you point it out to the kids as you're driving downtown.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've actually been there.
We had a field trip there when I was a kid, and we played a game to see which one of us could lean back the furthest and look up at it and not fall backwards.
How'd that go?
That was not sponsored by the school, by the way. That was just something we came up with on our own. That was fun to see about a half a dozen of us take a fall on the street in front of the Willis Tower, then Sears Tower.
There's a fire department hazmat. They thought there was
right.
some sort of gas leak or
right.
something.
Well, have you ever done that thing where if you and a friend if you're walking around the city, if you just decide to both look up at something and then everybody walking down the street also looks
right.
up because you can't prevent it?
I know. You have to follow suit.
It's just fun to do.
Can I tell you one of the things we're talking about in the Biz Lunch now
yeah.
today?
Yeah.
There are cities now that are putting the stoplight indicators on the sidewalk.
Oh, really?
Because people are always looking down texting.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
That could save some lives.
Well, maybe they should go.
It's right, I know. It's the thinning of the herd.
Right. I mean, you know, if we're going to spend money on that, I don't know.
No, I get that. I get that. Now, you got to experience, because of this architectural boat ride tour, what I've been seeing almost every day for the past couple months, and that is the River Walk, which
I
has
can't
been completed.
Believe that.
It's stunning. It's so beautiful.
I can't. And they're going to continue it even further down. But yeah. What they have now, the City Winery there, it's like, yeah. I swear to God, standing at the end of Navy Pier, we're sitting there at the very end. We're looking at all the boats out there and the seagulls. And I forgot I was in Illinois for a minute.
Yeah.
I swear, I felt like we were on vacation.
It's so beautiful. And they've cleaned up the river a bit. It used to be, it wouldn't smell very pleasant.
Yeah.
And it was really murky. And I don't know what they've done, but they've cleaned it up. There's about a half a dozen restaurants down there now. The other thing is, and I can't figure out how this is possible, but it is possible, is that it's very quiet and serene when you're down there. Even though there's all kinds of traffic, just a level above you.
Hustle and bustle.
It really is so quiet and peaceful down there. And I know this has something to do with it, but I'm not an architect, so I don't understand this. But underneath every bridge, so when I come in from the train station here, I go underneath, I think, 7 bridges. Underneath each of the bridges, there's this metallic thing that's almost like a clam shape. And it starts at the ground, and then it kind of makes a U-shape upward. And I've been told that that somehow cuts down on the sound. I can't figure out how.
Who told you that? Just some guy you asked on the street?
A street urchin. I said, excuse me, street urchin.
Does he live inside that clam?
Yes, he does. And he wears a hat that looks like a pearl. But I talked to him for about 20 minutes. I said, how is this pot? And he just goes, yeah, it cuts down on the sound. And to me, I go, oh, yeah, of course it does. Why wouldn't it? But I don't know how it does.
I thought the water would deaden the sound, because even on the architectural tour, mm-hmm. you're not hearing 1 ounce of street noise.
Street traffic. How is that possible?
A couple of trains, obviously, yeah. if you're going, you know, the L,
yeah.
things like that, but and occasional ambulances. But yeah. other than that, it is just
it's really quiet.
Deadened. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand that. But I'm okay with it. But it really is. That walk every day to and from is one of my favorite parts of the day, because it's just so peaceful and the water's beautiful. I know it's going to get cold at some point during the year. I get that. But for now, it's the best place to walk in the city.
It is like you're on vacation.
Yeah.
Just fall in love with the city all over again. I mean, you suburbanites like myself, we're coming back down Saturday because we didn't have time to ride the Ferris wheel. I don't ride Ferris wheels. I may do it. I may actually do it at Navy Pier on Saturday.
I've been told. I've not been on the
Ferris
wheel.
This is the bigger one.
It's the bigger one, and that if you have an aversion to heights, it's a little difficult. But why not? Give it a shot.
I've done it.
And I
do kind of have an aversion to heights.
What'd you think?
The best part about it, they're air-conditioned, each little booth.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I just, you know.
Did that part turn you off, the air-conditioning part? Because you seemed sold out.
Well, I didn't know they were enclosed. I kind of like.
You'd rather it be open air?
Yeah, because I get car sick and Ferris wheel sick, so I would like fresh air.
They're like little, I don't know, maybe like elevator cars kind of, but you're seated. They're like high-end elevator cars.
And they spin around, Kevin, you said?
Yeah.
You go
high
completely
speeds.
Upside down?
High speeds, yeah.
You should do it.
Really rickety. I'm just kidding. It's actually really nice.
Is it smooth? Am I going to
yeah,
get
very
sick?
Smooth. No.
Smooth.
Why are you nodding your head that I'm going to get sick?
It's unpredictable because I haven't been up there, so I don't know. But I trust Kevin.
I may want to do it. Yeah. I don't know. But we're falling in love with Chicago all over
Why
again.
Why wouldn't
you? We, you know, Billy Goat, of course, we got in before everything yesterday because you got to go there.
That primes the pump, gets everything ready.
Although I got yelled at because I only got a single.
Who yelled at you?
They don't. They want you to get a double or triple.
They got upset with you for having a single?
I said, you know, I'm not really that hungry. I'm going for a single. And they just looked at me. Sorry.
All right. We must take a break. A quick break. Steve with the news. A lot more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
He's already excitable. I walked into a conversation you and David Hochberg were
David
having.
David Hochberg, Wendy, who is normally in a lather, today is like the Gillette company.
Yeah.
Is so much in a lather. What's going on? Why are you so upset?
Well, it's I had a borrower who we got approved for a loan, clear to close for a loan, and he decided not to buy the home that he was going to purchase for whatever reason. Goes out, buys another home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting at my computer last night at 9:30. I get an email. So we're getting ready to get his loan ready to go. Loan's basically done. All we need to get is a new purchase contract, updated bank statements, pay stubs, and an appraisal, lock the loan, and he's done. Okay,
mm-hmm.
we loan was approved, clear to close, and he just decided not to buy the home. So I get a call. Or an email from the selling from the his realtor saying he's decided to go another direction. So I call up the realtor. I'm like, what are you talking about? How does he decide to go another direction? We just spent all this time getting his loan done. Well, the seller, I've never heard of you before, by the way. I'm like, you've never heard of me before. Okay, living in a cave. I'm like,
Vice President of Lending at Pearl Mortgage.
I'm like, okay. I'm sorry. I'm like, you don't listen to the radio. You don't have a radio in your car in the 10.
Yeah, because you're everywhere. You're hard to miss.
Right, 12 stations I advertise on. Okay, okay. Sorry that you haven't heard of me before, but I said,
I listen to you on Telemundo.
Well, I appreciate
the
that.
Weekend. I love your show on Telemundo.
Yeah, I'm taking Spanish, and we my lessons are live on the air. So
yeah.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And so I said you can't restrict a consumer on who to use. Well, they won't sell the house to our buyer if they use Pearl Mortgage. I'm like, really? I'm like, why? So I look up in the names of the two realtors, who I won't say right now, but I invite them to come on my show on Saturdays on another station to discuss this. But Wendy, I've done 4 or 5 loans for you, right?
I think five.
Five,
yeah.
Loans. Were there any challenges going on with your 5 loans that I did for you?
Can I tell you, you're the only person I would use because there are never any problems. There are no issues ever.
So I've got 2 realtors I've never done a loan with, right, on the other side, never been involved with, telling my buyer that they will sell them the house, but they
can't use you.
Pearl Mortgage.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they can't use Pearl.
What's
like,
behind
who the hell
it?
Are you?
Why do you think that happened?
I have no idea because they must have had a bad experience. Okay,
yeah.
Listen, it's not the easiest industry in the world, and maybe a loan went bad every once in a while. You know, something goes sideways, and
right.
Not everything goes perfect as much as you try to make it go perfect,
right?
You know, but maybe they had a bad experience with another loan officer at Pearl. But they basically told my buyer, who I had a loan done. Clear to close, and basically all I need is the purchase contract, which I have, updated bank statements, pay stubs, and appraisal, and locked the loan, that they'll sell them the home, but they won't allow Pearl Mortgage to do.
Can they do that?
I called his attorney last night, and I talked to her. So to the realtors out there who have never heard of me before, okay, in this transaction, if you want to look up, you go to WGNDavid.com. Wendy here is a testimony. I gave him about 15 on-air personalities that they could talk to, Dave Ennett, Steve Cochran.
Mike and Mike,
John Williams. Yeah, Mike and Mike.
Formerly Kathy.
David Kaplan.
Yeah, oops, David Kaplan,
yeah,
sure.
David Kaplan, formerly of WGN.
I wouldn't use Kaplan.
Well, maybe not so much Kaplan.
Because then people will go elsewhere.
Go with Crazy Kaplan from
the
Fireball Place.
The Ponzi brothers, Dina Bear, all these people, I'm not dropping a name, but I gave
Ponzi
them like...
The Ponzi brothers bought a house?
They bought
together?
A couple of houses. No, they didn't buy it together.
That'd be cool.
They're married and
money.
Have families.
That would be excellent, though.
No, we just did Danny's loan, and I've done Anthony's loan. Anthony, when I was on NBC, introduced me to Dan.
Yeah.
We've done all these people's loans. I'm just like, I'll be more than happy.
Jerry Luloff?
Yeah.
Jerry Luloff.
Yeah, Jerry Luloff. Yeah.
She's
you're pulling. Yeah, Dick Biondi.
Hasn't been around Chicago in a while. I think she moved elsewhere.
I didn't do Dick Biondi's loan. But, all these people's loans. So, I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there. Frosted me last night at 9:30.
I don't blame you. Do you want some tea?
No, I'm good. I'm like, who the hell are these two jokers?
Kevin, get some chamomile from Mr. Hochberg.
I got a loan done, and they're saying, we'll sell you this house.
I can't let it bother you.
Should, but I mean, I don't think that's a legal way to do it. Like, we'll be.
How do you do that? I don't know if it's legal or not. So, I'm just. I came and say it. I'm so
the attorney confused. Seemed like this could be fixed, though, right?
I hope so. I sent a polite email out. Oh, by the way, I'll be on this station tomorrow.
You never
morning.
Say a poli- send a
well,
polite
I was a
email.
A little sarcastic. And I said,
did you use a sarcastic font?
Yeah,
sarcasm.
I said, you could hear me here at 9:15, and you could hear me here at 10:30,
yeah.
And you could tune in on Saturdays over here to hear me as well.
Yeah.
So I look all forward right. to talking with you. So, and I encourage them to call into my show on another station another time.
All right.
If they have any questions about my ability to get anybody a loan.
Listen, I do have some integrity, and I will not promote something that I don't believe in, use myself, and love, and really, I've never had an issue.
And I have no integrity, and I'm a huge fan of yours.
No, you don't.
All right.
And I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That's my new bumper sticker.
All right.
Bill Leff has no integrity, and he endorses me.
There's a really good chance we may be paying more income tax.
Good chance.
There's a great chance.
I think I got a better better chance of giving birth to Siamese twins elephants than you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it's going to hurt.
So
yeah.
How that's going to affect people.
It's going to affect people's cash flow, disposable income, of course. And when you buy goods and services and the businesses now have to pay a point and three quarters higher in taxes, who do you think is going to pay that? They're going to pass it on to the consumer.
Right.
Right? Give me a break.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Listen,
so
something,
do?
Something you're gonna smile and take it. And can I have another? I mean, what are you gonna do? You're in a most screwed up state in the United States. We've got a bunch of clowns down in Springfield. Who
isn't this gonna send more people packing?
Got people.
I
streaming.
Bet it would, wouldn't it?
Streaming to. I'll tell you where people are moving. Tennessee.
I'm moving there tomorrow.
I'm getting one call a week from people moving to Tennessee.
Is that true?
It used to be Florida and Arizona for the taxes. People are flooding to Tennessee.
Nashville rocks.
Yeah. You know, property taxes on a 3,500 square foot house, $2,200.
Oh, okay. Man.
You know, that's property taxes on a 3,500 square foot house in Deerfield, $15,000.
What a huge difference.
Mean, let's do the math, Michael Madigan, okay, and all you boys and girls down in Springfield. What do you think's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Michael Madigan's not going to let anybody use Pearl Mortgage now.
Well, that's fine. Michael, I'm not on his Christmas list either, so that's or Hanukkah list or whatever list, Kwanzaa list. I'm sure he's got a bunch of – I'm sure I'm on a list. I'm not on the good list.
On a do-not-fly list.
Do not enter my office.
So what do we do? There's nothing we can do,
there's
right?
nothing you could do. We've got more layers of government in this state than any, you know, mosquito abatement. Give me a break. Why don't you slice all that crap and save all that money and merge it all together? I like
the mosquito abatement.
I'm sure you do. Listen, well, you know, I'm sure
they bite me like crazy.
I'm sure you do. And we're paying for it up the wazoo. I went to a budget hearing at the Northbrook library like 10 years ago. I just wanted to see what was going on.
Yeah.
And every different director of every different agency was getting up and asking for money. And I'm just counting. I'm going 125 G's for you, 150 grand for you, 125 for you, pension for you, pension for you, pension for you.
Right.
So I get up there and I'm like, yeah, I got a question. I got four flat tires this winter. How come we could build runways at O'Hare to land 747s at 165 miles an hour loaded up with passengers, but we can't create a street to drive 25 miles from my house to the West Loop without getting a flat tire?
What was their
silence.
Reaction? Yeah, quiet. Yeah.
State Representative Elaine Neckritz goes, that's a great question. Any of you guys on the panel want to answer it?
Nobody.
Crickets. Yeah. So
all
we
right.
need to do something.
Well, if we have
state.
Any housing questions, we'll take your calls at 312-981-7200. You can also text us at that same number, 312-981-7200. He is Vice President of Lending at Pearl Mortgage, David Hochberg. We return after these.
Bill Leff and it's Wendy Sider. Our guest is David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. He's also the CEO of Uncle Dave's Probiotic Pickles, 12 stands now open near you.
Not all pickles are created equal.
No, that's so true, David. So true.
Can we get a question or two in here?
Sure, bring it on.
All right. Dale is on the line, and he has a loan question. Hi, Dale. David Hochberg.
Hey, David. I'm going to be buying a house in Washington State, hopefully, and selling my house here.
Okay.
I've just recently retired. My wife will be retiring at the end of the year. My question is, will I be eligible to get a loan as far as being on retirement pension?
Sure.
Pension funds, and at one point, I may be having to pay two mortgages at one time if I buy a house out there before I get this one here sold.
Right. Well, so here to answer your question, retirement pension 401k income is allowable and is a verifiable source of income that we can use and lenders could use to secure you a mortgage against a new home. So you have nothing to worry about there. If it's a pension, you should secure your pension letter from your pension board stating how much you're getting. So you have it
I've got that in the progress now. Yeah.
Perfect. And then a bank statement to show the lender. That you have been receiving what is on the letter, and that's how you close the loop so you can count that income. Okay. Now let's solve your other problem. How much money do you owe on your house right now here in the local area?
$133,000.
And what's it worth?
$200,000.
Okay. And what rate do you have and what's your payment? Principal and interest?
I'm 375 and my payment is $735, but we pay $1,000 a month. The rest goes toward principal.
Okay, so what I would recommend that you do, since you know that you're definitely moving out of this house, correct?
Yes.
Is call up my team over at First Midwest Bank, Sarah and
Anna.
And Anna, thank you. Sarah, Anna, and they just added two more people because of all the volume that we're sending them. And convert your line of credit, convert your mortgage into a line of credit up to 80% of the value of your house. Okay? That way you could secure a line of credit up to $160,000 if you live in a $200,000 home. You'll pay interest of about $500-$600 on your mortgage, so your payment will drop in the event, and then you'll have access to liquidity to put down for the down payment on the place out in Washington. And then if you have to carry two homes, here's the deal. You have to carry two homes, your payment will be a lot less, and your payment on your home out in Washington will also be less because you'll be able to take the equity out of your home, out of your line of credit to put down on the house in Washington. So you're just playing monetary monopoly, right? And you're just moving money around the board, and that's the best.
And right now, if I had to, I could put $50,000 on a house right now if I had to.
Well, good. What I would recommend you do is take out the line of credit, then move the $50,000 that you have in your savings account that's earning you nothing, and put it into your line of credit, which will save you a ton of money. Okay.
Okay.
Continue to throw a bullet at, a G note at it a month to keep knocking it down. And then when you need to go out to Washington, you've got a ton of liquidity there to put down a large down payment on the house in Washington while you're paying down your home here with little risk. There's no closing costs. There's a 3-year early termination penalty, which you'll get hit with, which is about $300 to $400, which is nothing, but you'll be saving a ton of money between now and the time that you buy a home. How's that?
Okay. And then that's the First Midwest Bank.
Yeah. You could, if you shoot me an email at, david@perldavid.com, or just go to WGN David, it'll take you to our website, and you could send an email to me from there, and I'll hook you up with our team from First Midwest Bank.
Good luck.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Thank you.
So it is all about just moving, like
you're
rearranging
just moving
the
money
furniture.
Around. It's money manipulation. It's monetary. I used to use another word, but I got in trouble for using it. So it's monetary monopoly. You're just moving money from your left pocket to your right pocket. The guy's got 50 G's sitting in a savings account, obviously ready to go, earning him nothing. Take out a line of credit, knock down his $130,000 mortgage down to 80. His payment will drop to about, $350 instead of $750. He's putting $1,750 because he's throwing an extra G-note on top of it. So now he's paying down his $80,000 mortgage, $1,700 a month, and he's picking up liquidity there while paying down his interest rate. And then he's got, by paying down his balance, he's lowering his payment that he has to go out.
Right.
And then when he buys the house in Washington State, he could then pull the money back out and put it down for a huge down payment. I think we're licensed in Washington State. Pro Mortgage is licensed in 30 states, so if he would like us to help him secure the mortgage, we will. But that's how you do it.
Mentioned, David, that he was putting an extra $1,000 down every month toward the principal.
But his payment's not going down.
Does he want to keep doing that if he knows he's going to sell the house? Is it worth to continue doing that?
If you do it in a line of credit, yes, because your payment will go down every single month. Wendy's got a line of credit. It took her a little bit of time to understand it because it's not a normal loan.
Because it involves numbers.
Because it involves numbers and interest rates. But if he's going to throw $1,000 now, what he's going to do is move the $50,000 over, knock it down to 80 grand. The payment's 300 or 350. So now he's sending $1,700 in on a payment of $300. Now he's knocking down the principal by $1,400 a month, and he could pull it back out if he needs it in the future, which he's going to buy a home.
Okay. And speaking of buying homes, is it getting a little easier to get a house?
Yes. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac just released new lending guidelines. We're able to go up to 45% of your gross income to 50%. Now, some people might think that's risky. Why would you do that? Because the lending guidelines have tightened down, and under the current guidelines, the way they're underwriting loans, that they are willing to take added risk. And also, one of the biggest things, ARMs, basically the LTV on ARMs increased from 90% to 95%. So now you could get an adjustable rate mortgage up to 95%. And the biggest thing that just dropped is tax liens and civil judgments will be dropped from people's credit reports if they don't have the following information: people's names, address, and either a social security number or a birth date. Now, tax liens and judgments could cost you 20 to 150 points. I've seen these things.
Wow.
It could be a suffocating death knell, all right? An anvil on your head. So if you've got judgments and credit and tax liens, you should go back. They're all public records. And if they don't have your legal name, your home address, and either your birth date or social security number, which most of them don't from the past history, way back when, The credit reporting agencies have to automatically remove those.
They get them expunged.
And get them expunged.
Yep.
It's a good,
good
word.
Word.
Expunged, Wendy.
That's good.
Wow.
That's
vocabulary
good.
Of the day calendar.
That's good, ACT boy. Yep. So that's a huge change that just happened on July 1st, which will help people improve their credit scores, and their scores will go up. They qualify for lower interest rates and better financing.
Very nice.
Vice President of Lending at Pearl Mortgage. He's David Hochberg. You can reach him at WGNDavid.com or phone number to call.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333, 312-751-1333. And also, you could go to the traffic app that you hear five or six times.
Yes.
You know, to click there. You could also go to the traffic app, download that, and apply for a mortgage there. We're now sponsoring that.
Look
That's
you.
Easy.
We're
Good.
Although,
you cut it thin and spread it thick.
You have
what
to.
Is it? Cut it thick, spread it thin. Just cut me and spread me. I don't care. We'll be all right. Any way you want. I don't care.
Not as excitable as usual
Not today. What's wrong, Dave?
I was like, this thing with the realtors out, you know, it really frosted me last night. I got all upset and yeah. I'm over it. So I'm going to take this audio clip to those two geniuses out there and I'm going to send it to them. And I'm like, you got a problem with me? Here's Wendy Snyder. You ever hear Wendy Snyder? You ever hear
no.
WGN radio?
Yeah.
Here. Well, you know, they probably heard of you, but not Bill. But,
right.
You know, they, you know, here. Here's a lady on the radio saying that
I'm
I've done
lady.
Her loan five times.
Yeah.
All right. Get off. Stop yourself.
All right. All right. Now is
look
this what is I
This is
the
sparked. David Hochberg we know and love.
Thank you, David.
Thanks,
Thank
David.
You.
We'll take a quick break. We've got news coming up in a little bit and then a whole lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. That's Steve Bertrand, who you just heard. He's the host of the Wintrust Business Lunch, which you could hear at 12. It goes from 12 to 1. You'll have another option also. Wendy and I do a little puppet show on the internet every day, and we'd love for you to join us if you like. It's on the stream. It's very people love it. I've heard people love it.
Just the easiest way to tell you is go to our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and at the very top, pinned to the top, Kevin did this. It's just a link. It'll take you directly to the stream.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So you got two options right there. Or you could not listen to anything. You just sit in silence and think about what you did.
Do laundry.
Or do laundry. Yeah, you could always do laundry. Oh, here's something. Wendy, do you want to hear a story that's just, it's so unbelievably upsetting? Do you have a room
I have
for
time,
your day for
yes.
this?
Would it upset me? Please upset
right.
me.
I heard this yesterday and I said to myself, how can anyone be so low as to do something like this? There's a girl in England. She's 16 years old. Her name is Alex Dallas.
Nice name.
She has had, yeah, that is kind of a nice
kind
name.
Kind of a stripper name, though.
Maybe. You could be a stripper with that name, but she's not. She
All
is
right.
a she is a high school girl, and you can't do both, Wendy. You have to choose to either be a high school girl or a stripper, as you know. No one knows that more than you. You have to make that choice. Which will
that
I be?
That was not for air.
And she decided she would be a high school child, a kid. All right. So anyway, she's 16 years old, and she has had a rough go of it, to say the least. She has had horrible health issues.
Oh.
She has battled cancer for 12 years.
Poor thing.
Now comes time for her to graduate. She's 16 years old, and she wants to go to her prom. And the school that she attends in England is banning her from the prom.
For what reason?
I will tell you why. Listen to this. This is crazy. 16-year-old Alex Dallas was looking forward to her prom. This is a story in the Mirror in England. The teenager who has battled cancer for 12 years has been banned from attending her school prom. Alex Dallas claims the teachers decided she was mentally unstable and far too vulnerable to attend the end-of-school dance if she couldn't attend classes. Now, here's a little background on this. As she has fought cancer, as you would assume, it's very time-consuming, and many times, instead of going to school, Alex would have to go in for treatment.
And probably didn't feel very well from the treatment.
I would imagine not. So the school has a minimum number of days that you must attend school if you're to do any extracurricular activities, and the prom is considered one of those.
And all schools have that, but there are different circumstances.
Right, right. So in their opinion, because she was, quote unquote, too sick to attend school, she cannot benefit and attend the prom, which
it's
seems
terrible.
A little wrong, doesn't it?
A little.
The 16-year-old has battled cancer since the age of 4 and has scheduled life-threatening surgery to remove a tumor from her head so that she would be able to attend the rite of passage party, a.k.a. the prom. She says, I was so upset that I couldn't go. The prom is the thing that you look forward to from the time you're about 11. It makes all the stress of exams worth it. The schoolgirl was diagnosed after her mother noticed a swelling above her right eye and took her to the hospital. Despite battling disease for over 10 years, Miss Dallas managed to sit through GCSEs in English, math, and science. Those are tests, obviously. She's battled cancer since she was 4 years old, as we pointed out. But before she was due to start training as a nurse in September, the pupil at Ormiston Bullingbrook Academy in Runcorn, Cheshire, had made preparations for her prom. Her mother, Sam Madison, spent £380 on a baby pink lace dress customized for her tiny 4-foot-5-inch frame. Miss Dallas had chosen to undergo surgery last December instead of the summer so that she would be well enough to attend her prom, which took place last Friday.
That's perfect planning.
With all that's going on in her life, she figures that out. She figures out what the timing would be so she'd be able to attend the prom, not expecting the school to veto her decision. After having her surgery, she went to a home tuition center for one-on-one lessons, but the school then said that the teenager would need to go to classes for at least 2 weeks before her assessment.
But what's the difference if she's getting tutored and doing the lessons?
I think if it's an accredited tutor, and why...
It counts.
It must count, right? I don't know how it couldn't possibly count. A spokesperson for the school said, "We wanted to make sure attending the event was in the best interests of this student and, indeed, her fellow students."
How would it affect fellow students?
I can't figure that out either. How could it? Why would it?
I mean, and if somebody's just playing hooky and missing school, then they shouldn't be able to
right.
go to the prom.
But this is as legit
extenuating
as legit
circumstance.
Could be. Because she had not been into school for 6 months, we asked her to come in for 1 hour a day period over 2 weeks before her prom, so we could then make an assessment and so that she could interact with the other students.
What, are they going to call her names and tease her? What? I don't understand.
I'm not sure what that's about. I'm very confused by that. Unfortunately, the school says, she did not do so, and so we must reluctantly take the decision that it would be not right for her to attend this event. Alex, who has suffered from anxiety and depression as a result of her battle against cancer, said, "It upset me that they say that I'm mentally unstable, because I'm not." She said she'd agree to a proper psychological assessment, but claims that the school never offered her one, and going into class would have worsened her anxiety more than the prom would have. How would it not have? As a result of the school's decisions, she spent all last Friday crying at home while her parents had fun at the event. What?
What? Oh, they were chaperones?
I hope not.
Why would they?
Why would
at
their
that
parents
point,
shouldn't
I'd say,
go?
Screw you. I'm not going to be a chaperone if my daughter can't go.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. Miss Madison's right. If you're the parents, you go, "I'm going to stay home and take care of our daughter. I'm not going to go chaperone the silly event." Miss Madison said, "My daughter's been through hell, and she wanted to finish school on a high note with all of her friends, most of whom she has known since nursery. We can't turn the clock back, but I'm speaking out because I don't want to be there. I don't want there to be another Alex. To a lot of adults, it's a glorified disco, but to 16-year-olds, this means the world."
I guess it does, because we've talked about how prom was never... It never lived up to our expectations.
Almost always overrated.
But when you're that age...
When you're that age and you've been through what this girl has been through, you need milestones to look forward to.
You're right.
And this prom has just been hanging out over there going, "Look, I'm not having a normal childhood like I should. I've been robbed of that, but at least I'll be able to attend my prom." And then the school just puts up a stop sign.
And why would the school do that? Because now everybody knows about it. If they just let the kid go...
Exactly. Yeah, that makes it even worse. Right? How could this possibly have affected the other kid? I understand what they're saying. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand what they're saying in that she might not be ready. She hasn't been in school. She's been through a lot. Maybe she's not ready. I kind of get that.
I get that, but her parents are going to be there chaperoning if something should happen.
Right.
Maybe she has an anxiety attack. Maybe that's what they're worried about, so they wanted to ease her back into it. But her parents went to the prom without her. They're going to be there.
Yeah, that's even more confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I'm the parents, I say something along the lines of, "Look, if you won't let my kid go, I'm not, find another chaperone. I don't need to be there for this," to see what she would have.
That's terrible.
Every part of this is terrible. There's not a single element of this that isn't terrible. I feel so bad for her to have gone through what she's gone through, to have this one thing to look forward to, and for them to just go, "Yeah, we don't think it's in your best interest to go."
Why don't we have a prom for her? You could be her date.
I would do that. Do you want me to do that? I'll happily do that.
But you
that.
Don't dance. You'd be a sucky date.
We would mention to her that even though I'd be willing to be her date for the prom, I would not dance. I could talk current events. I like doing that.
That's a great prom date. And you'd get her a wristlet.
I would definitely get her a corsage with some baby's breath. That's what you do, right? Yes. I don't know why you do that, but you do. All right. I'll do that. Get a band
to
play
happen.
Color My World in the background, because you do that at the prom. Everybody does that. We'll make this work.
It's 2017. You're not going to play music?
They play different songs now?
Yes.
No. I haven't been to a prom in a long time, Wendy. I'll come clean. All right. This is terrible.
It is
I don't know what the school is possibly thinking in taking this moment away from this little girl, but it's a very sad story.
I get rules are rules, but sometimes, I'm sorry, sometimes rules have to be amended.
Right. In a case like this, don't you get together with the other decision makers of the school and say, look, this means so much to this girl to attend this thing. Let's have a quick evaluation if that's what it takes. Do whatever it takes, but get this girl into the prom. This is terrible.
Agreed.
All right.
I wish you were my principal, because then you would be my pal.
Yes, I would.
When is your principal your pal? When he's Bill Love.
Yeah, that's what my bumper sticker says, Wendy. Thank you for pointing that out. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. We're at 312-981-7200. That's where we can be reached. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kyle Schwarber is back, Wendy. He spent 2 weeks in the minors. They talk some sense into him. They go, you got to wait for your pitch, Kyle. When you get your pitch, drill it. And now he's back with the team.
So he can hit home runs, but not the ball all the time?
He was hitting a bunch of home runs. He wasn't hitting for average, and there were key moments where they really just needed a single or something, and he's swinging for the fences. I love this guy. Doesn't he look like... there's not a single person in the world that didn't go to school with a guy who was Kyle Schwarber. Didn't you know a guy just walking down the hall of your school? It was like Kyle Schwarber. His name was even Kyle Schwarber. The guy that I'm thinking of in my school's name was also Kyle Schwarber.
It does seem like a kid that you'd have in your class.
Hey, Schwarber.
Hey,
and he'd Schwarbs. Just be eating like a ham, like just with a ham sandwich, just eating it as he's walking down the hall. Hey, Bill. Hey, Wendy. Hey, Schwarbs.
What's his facial hair like again?
He has what would normally be a beard, but it's not quite a beard.
What do they call that, Kevin?
It's not a goatee. What is that, Kev? What do they call that?
It's got like a little chin cap type.
Yeah, like
thing.
A chin cap.
I don't know
chin
if
chin cap. I like know. That.
That's what it is. It's like there's some on his chin. I think it should be called a Schwarber. That if somebody's got that, you should call that a Schwarber. I think. It looks good on him. Could you pull that off? I couldn't pull that off.
Could I pull that off?
Yeah.
No, that's why I wax.
I'm glad he's back. I love that guy. He's a hero.
Is it a goatee?
It's in the goatee family.
It's a half a goatee.
Yeah. It's not a full... Yeah, I think that's fair. It's a half a goatee.
It's the Billy Goatee curse.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't know what you call it. I like the chin cap. Because I know if you just have a little bit of hair like under your bottom lip, that's the soul patch.
Right. It's not a soul patch, though.
This is a chin cap. Kevin, did you just make that up?
Yeah, yeah.
It looks good on him.
I kind of like that chin.
Makes him more imposing looking. Like if I wore that, here's what people would say to me all day. Is everything all right? what's going on with you? What are you doing?
Do you remember Bobby Jenks? Didn't he have something like that, too?
Yeah,
from
the
White
Sox closer. He had something similar to that.
It was
for a
little
while.
More Billy Goatee, though.
Yeah, his was fuller.
Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber. So when you have that, you shave for a little while, and then you just get to that part, and you go, eh.
Well, you'd have a mustache. You shave everywhere else but that.
So when you're starting that, what are those first few days like? Because it would look really, like, for now, it looks good.
It looked like your face was dirty.
Yeah, probably, right?
Just stubble.
Yeah.
But that's very in now.
Yeah.
Johnson started that, didn't he, with just the...
Stubble only.
Yeah.
Well, they used to sell, I don't know if they still do, but you could buy razors that were like stubble razors where you would still shave, but it would leave stubble.
The electric ones?
Because
they have attachments you can put on. Like if you want, an eighth of an inch in length, then you use that.
Yeah,
there are little
right.
guides on there.
Right. I think they all, they must also have, I'm not allowed to use an electric razor.
Really?
I'm not
Why'd you try and slide down a snow hill on one with a Norelco with Santa?
I tried to.
They took it away from
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I couldn't
Did
get
hurt
my
yourself?
My license was not renewed for it. I'm just, I've used an electric razor twice. I'm just not.
It's not that not close
proficient.
Of a shave, is
nope.
it?
Mm-mm.
I know they say it is, but even like as a woman on your legs or your underarms,
mm-hmm.
It does not work like your typical razor and shaving cream.
I don't think they've perfected it.
Mm-mm.
I'm surprised because they've had these things for years, but you can't get the right. I don't know why, but I've talked to people who they swear
Love
by it.
Yeah.
They go, no, it's the best thing in the world. Why wouldn't you use it? And sometimes. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I've seen this a bunch of times. I'll see a guy shaving while he's driving.
I was just thinking that because I think some of the electric razors have like a
you
jack
can plug
that
it
you can
into
plug.
Your
yeah.
Cigarette lighter.
Which, that's weird.
But what do you do? Like when I'm shaving, I'm constantly, like I shave for a couple seconds, then I got to tap the...
And rinse it.
Yeah, you have to do that nonstop.
But with an electric, you don't.
Oh, it just stays
it
in the razor?
It eats up all the stubble, and then when you're finished, then you have to take a little brush and scrub it out.
But how busy must you be to have to shave while you're driving? I've never been that busy. I can take time to shave before I leave the house.
You will never be that busy.
I don't think I will ever be that busy, but I see that every once in a while. I'll be driving next to, I'll look over, and a guy will just be shaving at a stoplight or just on the highway. He'll be shaving. Well, How busy could that guy possibly be?
He's the president of some place.
He must be.
Hi, Harold. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Fine.
I've had a number of those stubble-leaving razors. They're called used razors.
Wait, they're called used razors?
I don't think you're supposed to be
that's
using
not the
those.
Right. That's not the right kind of razor.
Like last week's razor. Yeah.
All right.
How many shaves do you get out of a razor? I'm just curious, Harold.
Probably about six or seven, but I probably should be getting rid of them sooner than that.
Now, are these disposable razors? Because you can get a lot more out of them than six or seven normally.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't.
No?
I can, but it's not as effective anymore.
It won't be as close of a shave.
Yeah.
The first few days, if you use disposable razors, and from time to time, I was just traveling last week, so I brought a Bic disposable with me.
Because then you don't have to bring it home.
Right. It's easier. So for those first few days with a disposable razor, I cut myself up crazily. I just can't, I don't know what
it is.
It's
too light.
I don't know if it's too light or if it's too sharp or what it is, but I just, those first couple of days, I'm not good with it. After the third or fourth day...
I don't know. I don't know about you, but if you got to be careful, you don't. You go with the
the grain.
I thought you're supposed to go against the grain.
No, with the grain.
Well, however you go, it's not about. That's probably the difference of a closer shave or not. But if you're not careful, sometimes you'll go like direction, kind of like you'll get a paper cut from because you'll go
right.
You'll go sideways instead of going up or down.
Is right. that when you put the piece of toilet paper there?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you end up, if you do it really good, you end up getting like a 4-inch piece of paper towel on your or toilet paper on your...
Can I tell you, Harold, have you ever had a cut here? This is the absolute worst place when you're shaving to cut yourself is at the very bottom of your ear.
Where it connects to your...
Yeah.
God, you pull your ear out to shave like that?
Yeah. Well, I have somebody do it. I have somebody come to the house and hold my ear and then I shave it. But if you cut yourself there, you're going to bleed for an hour and 45 minutes.
That's interesting.
That would be pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Harold, call us back next week at this time for shaving tips with Harold, okay?
I'm starting with a fresh razor right now, and I'll let you know how I'm doing.
All right.
Awesome.
I'm going to shave continuously until then.
All right.
Perfect.
That sounds great.
Thanks,
Harold. Appreciate it.
Have you ever gotten, and Kevin, you're in on this question because I'm just curious. Have you ever gotten a shave from a barber where they're using a straight edge and a hot towel?
It's the best.
Are you kidding?
I've only done it once. I did it on my wedding day, and it's the coolest. It's like a 20-30 minute, endeavor, but you get the hot towel on and they're doing the thing. It's really relaxing.
I don't trust anyone enough to do that to me.
That thing looks like, really, what if he sneezes?
I know.
You're done.
Well, they're trained on this,
Well,
I think they have to shave a balloon, actually.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I've also seen too many mafia movies.
Me too.
I'm sure somebody would come in and rub me out.
Well, you're going to the wrong barber then, maybe. I don't know.
So you have had a straight edge razor.
Yeah, I loved it. Super smooth. Yeah, it was great.
Was it smoother than your typical shave?
Yes, absolutely.
I swear I would not. I'd
it looks
so
scary.
Uneasy the whole time.
And the hot towel is really nice. It's the best.
Can they just give you a hot towel without the shaving part?
Yeah, I guess.
Go get a facial.
It's kind of expensive, though, if I remember correctly.
Is it? What does that cost?
I think it was like $30.
What? No way. Seriously?
Yeah,
$30.
So.
No way.
$30 to just have a guy shave your face and have you scared for 10 minutes.
It's the best shave you're ever going to get.
And then you got to tip something on that, too, right? It's $35 or $40 total.
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
It was his wedding day.
It was my wedding day.
No, free wedding day, I guess.
I just still would have been scared. I see that all the time. I guess I've really only seen
their
it
heads
in movies.
Tilted way back, and you just go, please be careful, sir. Please. I don't know if I could do it.
I just wondered if it really was that close of a shave, but evidently it is.
It looks like it is. Kevin, have you shaved since? No? That was his last shave.
Have you shaved since? It was such a close shave, you've never had to shave
since. No, he's that good.
Well, I don't grow facial hair that much anyway, so.
All right. We will take a quick break. We've got news in just a few minutes, and then our friend Dean Richards joins us. Big scandal at Hawaii Five-O. What's going on there? Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
I feel like I haven't talked to Dean in a good long time.
It's been too long. It's been way too long, Dean Richards. How are you?
2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks too long in our opinion.
2 weeks too long in my opinion.
Yep.
As well.
Yep.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing well. I've had a couple of days off after the holidays.
So. What? I've never heard of you have a day off.
You're a workaholic, Dean Richards.
I'm in a 12-step program.
Are you? All right. All right. Can I ask, is there any chance that show you did on the 4th of July where you talk about fireworks, could that become
staged,
a series?
Was that staged?
Was that staged, and could it become a series? Because I'd watch that every week.
The 4th of July fireworks every week?
Yeah.
I like fireworks.
We could repeat it.
I wouldn't mind you repeating it, but I just think if you go to a different venue every week and you shoot off some flares or some bottle rockets and you talk about it.
How about in my father-in-law's backyard? We did a lot of our own fireworks this time. We could do it again next weekend. You could come host it.
I was going to do a series on my favorite of all the things that we had as kids for fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
I was big on caps.
Caps
you
are
know,
great.
With the rock.
Do you know what we lit off this year? And you and Bill will remember these. Remember
Punks?
Snakes?
Oh, I was just going to say that.
Oh, yeah. My God. I got to experience one live in action this past weekend.
I love those snakes.
Yeah.
They're like little tablets, right?
We still have a mark at the house I grew up in.
Yeah.
Where the snakes went off in the garage and you couldn't get the stain out. It's there forever.
Right. And then Samuel Jackson said, get these snakes out of my garage.
Yep. He got very irate.
Gets mad.
It was really cool. Yeah. Right. It's a little tablet and it comes up like a snake, although it looks more like a pile of dog poo when it's finished.
Get these ashy snakes out of my garage.
Their original name, Wendy, was what you just described, and they weren't selling very well. So they said, we'll call them snakes and see what happens.
And you use your punks to light the firecrackers.
Right. Yeah. Right, or cigarettes like I did when I was a kid. Right.
You rebel, you.
Right. Well, back then they encouraged kids to smoke back in those days.
Right. I was told it was good for me.
Right.
What did I know?
And the new sparklers they've made, if I may point this out, they still make some of the metal ones, but that turned out to be the most dangerous thing because a little kid's hand with the glowing metal.
No. What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
Well, now they make them out of a wooden stick.
That's not the same.
No, and when it's fizzing and you're doing your little cheerleader thing with your sparklers, all the wood is falling and these burnt embers are falling on your grass.
That's what I mean. Everything's goofy now. My parents used to give us sticks of asbestos and we could just do whatever we wanted with them.
That's right. Take this, these asbestos and these sticks of dynamite out to the garage.
That was when it was the 4th of
July. Does Kaplan sell the asbestas too?
Yeah, in the back. You got to go in the back.
I'm not proud of it. And I honestly have no idea where we got these, but when we were little, seriously, we couldn't have been more than 10, 12 years old, shooting off M80s.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, I know.
Basically, sticks of dynamite. No wonder
they are.
I'm crazy. You people want to know why I'm nuts?
That's why?
That's why. I had almost blew my brains out when I was a kid. No wonder I'm nuts now.
Wait, Bill wants to jump in. Listener Bill with a snake comment. Bill, Dean Richards, Bill Leff, and what is your comment?
Hey, Bill, Wendy, and Dean, happy belated July 4th.
You too, Bill.
Likewise.
Yeah, I grew up in Deerfield, and back then, we were not allowed to light the snakes, like, on the driveway or the sidewalk, because it would mess it all up. So we had, do you remember when they used to have the garbage men would come and pick up your garbage from behind your house, and, like, in the big metal garbage can? And they'd actually take the metal garbage can all the way to the front where the truck was to dump it. But anyway, the lid from that garbage can is what we had to use. We had to turn it upside down, and that's what we had
that's
to put the
genius.
Snakes in. Yeah.
Only so, after we threw an M80 in the garbage can first.
Oh, I loved that sound.
Well, I'll tell you, speaking of that, and you know, real quick, you know, we used to light the firecrackers, just the regular, like, black hats, and we would wait until the fuse was halfway down, and then we'd throw it because you wanted it to explode in the air.
Sure.
And I can remember one time where, just like the cartoons, my hand was back by my ear. I'm about to release it, and it went off.
Oh.
And thank God it just hurt my hand bad. It didn't, you know, didn't lose anything, but it was not that far from my ear.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, no damage done. Well, my wife would say otherwise. But it just was one of those things that ever since then, I was so cautious. I was so, so lucky with it. So when I hear these accidents today, it just reminds me how lucky I was. But anyway, great memories with the snakes, guys. Appreciate
Thanks, Bill.
It.
Thanks, Bill.
Now,
thank
you. I have not looked this up or anything. This is right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
This is bringing back these memories that these snakes would spew out ash that resemble a snake via an intumescent reaction.
Yeah, it was always an intumescent reaction.
Yeah. What?
Sodium bicarbonate producing carbon dioxide gas and sugar, which formed the carbon-containing ash.
That's See, now that we know there's sugar, Dean, Cook County wants to tax these things. That doesn't seem
You can't buy them in Illinois.
Not anymore.
I wonder if I can get my snakes with Splenda.
A snake light, please?
I'm watching
They're
my
still
snake
so
calories.
Fun, and that awesome smell when they're finished. I got to tell you, I love it.
It's like a
sulfur.
It is sulfur, right?
It was really fun experiencing a snake this year.
I'm looking at some pictures of them.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Oh, man, they are beautiful.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
I took
they're
a
stunning.
Video. Maybe we should post it.
They're so stunning.
You're very correct, Wendy, of what that it looks like...
poop.
Looks like a little mini dog poop.
It looks like excrement creating itself right before your very eyes.
Oh, look at Bill with
Beautiful.
The fancy words.
Well, I went to college. I'm not gonna pull
off.
Punches, but I did attend a local
Show
college.
Off. Fan your fancy words for poop.
Dean, I know we weren't scheduled to talk about this, but this came up on our show earlier, and I'm just curious what you know about this. Over at Hawaii Five-0, two of the stars of the show are leaving.
Yeah.
Two Asian-American actors are leaving because they say they weren't being paid anywhere close to what their co-stars are being paid. What do you know about this?
That's exactly what I've heard about this, that the two actors, and I'll get their names here in a second.
I have their names. It's Daniel Day Kim, who used to be on Lost.
And Grace Park, is
in
it?
In Grace Park.
Grace Park.
Where we used to play Little League when I was a kid.
Grace Park.
Yeah.
Okay.
The fences were in close. Well, we loved playing there.
No wonder they don't want to give her any money. They named a park after her. What more do you
want? She got plenty.
What more do you want?
Right.
They decided not. I have to say that they were like very eloquent about deciding not to stay on the show. They issued a very polite and courteous statement saying that they've decided to move on after 8 years on the show, or seven seasons. They're beginning the eighth season now. But as it's turned out, these actors now have been talking about this and saying that their salaries were 10 to 15% less than other stars on the show who happen to not be Asian on the show. And they realize that there are not, they said that there are not a lot of great roles for Asians in the movies and on television. And they realized that these were great roles, but they felt like they should be compensated properly. And one of the things that was said, that Daniel Day Kim said, is the path to equality is rarely easy.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you can be excited for the future. I am. So he's not being bitter about it. He's not being nasty. And, you know, also gives us a comment, which, honestly, if I found in a fortune cookie, I'd be very
right,
happy.
It's beautiful.
The
it's
path
beautiful.
To equality is rarely easy. I would, it's like, yeah, in bed.
Right. You're supposed to say that at the end. Dean, but this is the important thing to realize, and I don't know because I've never seen the show. I've never seen the revamped version of Hawaii Five-0, but I've heard that their roles were not as integral. They weren't the stars of the show. the way Alex O'Loughlin and Scott Conn are. Is that true? Did they have smaller, diminished roles on the show? Do you
know? I have to say that I've only seen the show a couple of times myself, so I honestly don't remember for the two or three times that I've seen the show. I would not be the expert on this. But I've read plenty of interviews with them before and since this all of this has happened, saying how happy they were with their roles and how dimensional these roles were and how, you know, meaty roles they were for them. And I think they just wanted some respect. That, you know, they wanted both you know, the kind of respect from the producers.
They deserve that.
In a tangible way. If the other supporting characters in the series are getting a certain amount of money, then they should too. And if, you know, if it's easy to show that it's only Asian American actors that are not being compensated properly, that doesn't seem
wrong.
Now, it really comes out to somewhere around the price that the other actors are making is $200,000 per episode. And they said that these
guys get by on that much.
You could live on $200,000 a week. I mean, you got to pull punches.
Spend that much at lunch today,
right? Easily. So they were offering the two actors that are leaving the show, Daniel Day Kim and Grace Park, roughly $5,000 to $10,000 less than the $200,000. So if you're CBS, if you're the production company behind this, just to avoid any kind of problems, don't you go pony up the money? Give them each $5,000 or $10,000 each.
Yeah, just pay it. That's what I think as well.
That's crazy.
So I think it's a little short-sighted on the part of the producers. I think it's more the part of the producers than it is the network of the show. I think that it's a situation in which the two actors will easily find other work. This, you know, the show has kind of put them on the map and distinguished them. I think they'll move on to other things. But, it, you know, it brings up something that, you know, it's not something that you think about all the time,
right?
That there are not really a lot of really substantive, great roles for Asian actors.
That's true.
You know, there's usually, you know, kind of a pigeonhole of kind of roles that, you know, fit into.
In the original series, did Chow Fat make as much as Jack Lord did? I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
I bet he didn't.
I don't think so. Not with a name like that, he would have.
For the name, he should have gotten paid more and just done that.
Right.
It's like Chow Fat. Yeah, just give him an extra lunch.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
I don't even know. I don't even know what that means.
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter.
I'm giddy right now.
That's fine.
It's the best part of the steak.
I've been up since 3 o'clock
when
in the morning.
When you're chow fat.
I'll have the double chow fat.
Please.
Please.
No MSG. All right, we'll take a break.
I just want to tell you this real quick because it's really cool. I was in Oahu, in Hawaii, staying at a hotel. And I look over in the hotel next to mine. Is the hotel that they used for the opening of the original Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, really?
That shot where the camera zooms up the building, and up top is Jack Lord. It was the hotel that was right next to mine. I don't remember the name of the hotel. But right in front of that, you're going to love this.
What is it?
Where they shot the opening for Gilligan's Island.
No way. All in one area?
The little harbor is right in front of it.
That's impressive.
So instead of me enjoying the natural beauty of Hawaii, I'm going to see where they shot TV shows from 40 years ago.
Lovey Howell stood here, right here. This is fantastic.
Do you know where Chow Fat House is?
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Dean will tell us about the new Spider-Man movie. It's been over 6 weeks without a Spider-Man movie. There's a new one. We'll tell you about it. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN, along with our friend Dean Richards from WGN TV Morning News. Boy, are they good. Dean, there's a new Spider-Man movie out.
So I hear, and congratulations, by the way, for being the only broadcast outlet in the history of broadcasting to not use the old Spider-Man theme music.
Yeah, we couldn't find it.
To lead it.
We thought we had it ready, and we couldn't find
Spider-Man.
Friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, the new Spider-Man movie's out, Bill.
Yeah, how about that? There hasn't been a new one in a long time.
It's been at least a couple of days, I think, since we've had a new one. I am. I saw it last night. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I have some reservations about it. I'm going to give it a good review. It's an overwhelmingly good review. I have a few little problems with it. The new Spider-Man is this little young actor named Tom Holland, who we saw in the last Avengers movie. He's done just like little tease appearances in a couple of Marvel projects since then. And now he's got his own project, his own movie, but one that he shares with Robert Downey Jr., with Captain America. I mean, it's not quite an Avengers movie, but personally, I think I just want my Spider-Man movie to be Spider-Man.
You would think.
I get what they're doing. I mean, this is like when Danny Thomas would visit Mayberry.
Right.
You know, they're doing this cross-promotional thing. Robert, you know, Iron Man's popular. Captain America is popular. The Marvel Universe, they're cross-pollinating a little bit. I get it, mm-hmm. especially with, a new young actor, and they want to kind of give it a little credibility of some of the other Marvel superstars. But I think that Tom Holland could have handled this by himself. This may be the first time, actually, that we've had a Spider-Man actor who is actually, you know, more the age of what Spider-Man is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a teenager who is bitten by a snake and by a spider. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he'd be Snake Man. Yeah. That, you know, acquires these powers and abilities that he has. So in that sense, it makes sense. But he's a little bit overly enthusiastic, a little bit overly whiny. Not the credibility, or at least not the way that he is throughout the whole movie is the way you would only expect him to be in the beginning of the movie, as he discovers his powers and, you know, is kind of learning to be Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. The maturity never comes. That seems to fit the storyline. It's fine. It's not a plot killer, but it's really nitpicky. I wasn't that crazy about the performance of Tom Holland as the Spider-Man character in this movie. He's okay. He's good. Mm-hmm. He's not great, especially when compared to Michael Keaton in this movie, who is the villain. He plays
Vulture.
The Vulture.
Yeah.
Right. And he is magnificent. Mm. You can tell why Michael Keaton is an Academy Award winner. The gravitas that he brings to this, the dimension that he brings to this. When Michael Keaton is on the screen, you are paying attention. He draws you into whatever it is that's going on. The storyline is, you know, it's almost irrelevant of, you know, it's good guys and bad guys and nothing all that unusual for the Marvel Universe kind of formula. But Michael Keaton is rather spectacular. The action sequences are good. I don't think they're great.
Yeah.
I think it's an above average movie, but I was completely blown away by how great Michael Keaton was. In the movie, so for that reason, I'm giving it a B+. I think if it wasn't for Michael Keaton, it would be significantly lower than that.
How about that? Now here's the question that needs to be asked. They've remade this origin story of Spider-Man. This is the third time in the last 12 years. That seems excessive. I thought Tobey Maguire was really good. Andrew Garfield wasn't quite as good, but also good.
I agree.
So why do they keep remaking the same movie over and over again?
I think it's mostly an age issue that, you know, Spider-Man is supposed to be a teenager who, you know, is dealing with all of this. So the other two actors, you know, kind of aged out of it, I think, a little bit. And they don't do the setup for, you know, and like reinventing the Spider-Man legacy completely in this one. If you don't know a lot about the Spider-Man origin, mm-hmm. you're not going to understand a lot of what's happening here. I mean, if you followed it in the comic books or on the animated TV show or through the other Spider-Man movies that have come out, you'll have a clear understanding. But it's not entirely clear how he got these powers, how all of this happened, who a lot of the side characters are. I think, you know, most people probably have seen the Spider-Man movies through the years. They probably do get it.
Sure.
So I will give the producers, I guess, some credit in, you know, not being repetitive with a lot of information that people already probably know. But I am a little bit of a stickler for a movie has to be, has to tell its own story.
Yeah, right.
I don't think, you shouldn't look at a second movie, a sequel, and assume that everyone saw the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing applies here. So it's not incomplete. I got it. I understood what was happening with everything. I wasn't not that impressed by Tom Holland or many of the other supporting characters in the film. Marissa Tomei is a part of this one. Donald Glover has a very small role in this movie. Tyne Daly has a small role in the movie.
Sold.
Zendaya has she actually is has kind of an interesting role. She's one of the students and is a little more dimensional than most of them.
Yeah.
But nothing comes close to Michael Keaton in this movie. Nothing at all. This to me, this is his movie.
Yeah.
He is nothing short of spectacular.
Excellent.
Single-handedly made the movie. I also think it's a little bit long. It's almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm
prepare for that.
Short attention span, Dean. I have snakes to burn. I don't have time to sit here all day.
Who has time to do that? A B plus, mostly for Michael Keaton. That's your new Spider-Man review, Dean. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend, guys.
That's Dean Richards. Thanks, Dean. We'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.